Begin the current daf Masechtas Chulin Kuf Chaf. We begin on the bottom line of Kuf Yates Mabez, where the Gemara continues with a third version of the Gemara's previous discussion. The Gemara brought a brisa on the previous daf, which spoke about two different bones of a dead person, which each had a half olive size of flesh, and then it was put into an oil. And we had a machlekes between the Tanakam and Yehudim and the Kusa, if that's going to transmit tumah to the oil as a yad. So that Rish Lakish had said, that was only said regarding a bone that's attached to flesh, which that could function as a yad. And that was just their machlekes, would have two half azaisim combine or not. But regarding a hair, says Rish Lakish, that's not going to function as a yad, because you pull the hair, it's not going to pull the flesh, it's just going to get disconnected. Rish Yechanan said, it's even going to function as a yad, even as a hair. Then there was another version, which their machlekes was regarding that, no, everyone agrees one hair is not going to function as a yad, but their machlekes is regarding, do you say a bunch of hairs together, does that function as a yad or not? Now the Gemara says the third version, the Be'ikud Masna, that those that learn this machlekes, Rabbi Yechon and Shlokesh, as the Ketan type of Kavchof Manalf, actually going Amas Nitin, going on the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which is the title of this parak, in regards to this agreement that we're saying the halacha was unique to a bone, not in the explanation of that previous price regarding functioning as a yad, but rather in the function as a shimer. The Mishnah said, Ha'or, Vareite, Vakipa, Vachulu, it said a bunch of different examples of the skin, the gravy, the sediments, which if they function, Vachulu, etc., if they function in a relationship regarding the import and export of Tumah in regards to Mitzdarfin, Latama Tumas Eichlin, then not only that, but they even function as combining for the requisite measurement of the laws of Tumah of the food item to combine to be the share of a Kebeah. On that of Rish Lakish, he says, Loishanu Ela Etzim. It was only said as one of the cases they was talking about regarding the bone, the Havashimer. That's something that could be a protector, and where it protects the marrow that's inside of the bone. And most definitely, if we're mentioning in the Mishnah that Etzim will be part of the case of the Mishnah, obviously we're talking about that it's in its function as a shimer, not as in the explanation of the previous price as a handle, because a bone could hold on to the meat, because our Mishnah is talking about combining for the shear of Tumas Eichlin, which that's not the halacha as yad, as we said in the previous daf. A handle does not combine, only a shimer does. Now, that's the bone. Of a nima, lo yav a shimer, but says Rish Lakish, but the hair on the flesh, that doesn't function as a protector, and therefore it will not combine for the shear of Tumas Eichlin, because a hair is on top of the skin, which is the hide, which is on top of the flesh, and that's a shema gab a shimer, and the shema gab a shimer does not function, as we said in the previous daf, as a shimer. But Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. He says, no, filanim and nam have a shamer. Even the hair could also function as a shamer to combine for the shear of Tumas Eichel. On that, I'm like, Shlokesh Rabbi Yechanan, we had these same ideas in the previous daf, but in this context, Shlokesh asked Rabbi Yechanan, Umik Hashem Agab Hashemer, is there such a thing that a protector could be considered a protector if it's over another protector? It doesn't, like we had the halacha regarding the three layers of onions. So how could the hair be considered a shamer if it's on top of the hide, which is in itself is a protector for the flesh? Says Rabbi Yechanan, the hair actually goes through the pores of the skin, through the different layers of skin, all the way down to the flesh, to the muscle, and therefore it's actually not on top of the shamer, it itself is its own shamer on top of the meat. However, on this answer, Rabbi Yechanan, maskula Rav Acha, says, but Eliyat, if that's the case, tefillin hechiketzvin, how do we write tefillin? On the parchment, but you need to have, as it says in the pasuk, a intact writing, and you don't have it. If there's holes that are going straight down, the ink is falling in. It's not an intact writing. Says the Gemara, ishte mitzei hod amri b'maralva. He has alluded him this with the Torah in the West. Kol nekev shad yoy overlov, any nekev, any hole that the ink passes over, it's not considered a hole in to be a problem regards to the writing of being uchsavtem aksivatama. But it still does help us for the hear that it's considered its own shomer on the flesh and not a shomer gabe shomer. Now, Eis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish from the Mishnah later on, Kavchav Dal Medalf. The Mishnah says, Ur sheyesh lov kezayis baser, the hide of an animal that has in it an olive size of flesh. The Mishnah says, Hanegei betziv hayitzim, if someone touches a strip of flesh that comes out from that hide, ubisairish shekenegdi, or a hair that's opposite that flesh, tamei, that it's going to be functioning in the transmission of tumah. Now, says Rabbi Yechanan, my lav mishum shomer, isn't it? And the simple reading would be, sairish shekenegdi, generally, if you need to have something connected to bastard, it's because of its function of a shomer. Because yad, that's actually the strength of yad, has over shomer, they could even be on not opposite with the flashes. So isn't it talking about that you see the hair is functioning as a shamer? And you said the hair cannot function as a shamer. So it's just like a yad. No, it's actually functioning as a handle and lav dafka that has to be connected like we explained in the previous version on the previous daf. So that the question is, Nima achas lamachazi. So if you tell me that the hair is as a shamer, so one hair could be a protector, it does something. But as a handle, what's the utility of one hair? You try pulling, it's going to come right off. How does that function as a handle? So the Gemara, Kedam Rebbe Lo, you're right. Rebbe Lo, he says, B'meloi shebein hamaloyin, that he's talking about a different halacha regarding those bristles on the top of the stalk. Where, yeah, that also comes right off, but when did we say it functions as a handle when you pull many of them at the same time? When do we say that the hair could be as a handle for the flesh of the meat? That's when you pull many hairs at the same time, so it could function as a handle, but not as a shamer. Says the Gemara, Hechit Mad Rebbe Lo, and where was this teaching Rebbe Lo? It's a Haditnan on this Mishnah Masechet Uktzin that says, Hamaloisha b'shebol metamen metamen be'emet starfin, the bristles that's on the stalk, it imports and exports tumah, but it doesn't combine because it's a yad, it's not a shamer. A yad does not mitzar for the share of tumah. The question was, but malai l'may chazi, for what function is there for one bristle in regards to a handle of the stalk? And Adam Rebbe Lo, he says, b'maloisha b'maloisha, we're talking about bristles amongst many bristles that together they can function as a handle. That's the same thing Rish Lakish was answering over here. No, one hair cannot function, you're right, as a yad, but many of the hairs together could function as a yad, and if there's no right to b'yechanan as a shamer, because it's actually as a yad. Now the Gemara continues the halacha of our Mishnah that was talking about as the title of our parak, ha'or, v'reitiv, all these different things that combine with the food item itself for the measurement of kebeya, of the size of an egg, for the halacha of tumas eichel. So the Mishnah says v'reitiv, and the gravy combines for the share of tumah. Says the Gemara, my reitiv, what is this referring to? So Amar Rav says shumna, it's the fats that's on top of the sauce that's with the meat that will combine with it. On that Amar Abaye says to Rava, what do you mean? Why do you need to combine the fats that our Mishnah is saying it combines for the shir of Tumas Eichon with the meat? What? But that sounds like the fats itself wouldn't. But why would the fats not be itself royal for the shir of Tumah? It's a bona fide food item. Who adds my yitma Tumas Eichon? Fat is part of the elements of the meat, and it itself is considered a food item. So why would it need to just combine in this halacha of reitiv? It itself is royal for Tumas Eichon. Ella, rather, says Abaye, it's chel of the karish. It's referring to this moisture that comes out of the meat, which is called galera. That congealing, that's what we're calling the shuman. No, not regular shuman, fat of the animal. Fat of the animal, of course, that would be its own tumasechem. This was saying it's combining. It's not really its own food item. It's this liquid that comes out of the flesh that, when it congeals, that will combine for the share of tumasechem. That has to come on my ear, karish. Why does it have to congeal? Which means that it gets hard. Kilo karish nami, even when it doesn't congeal, that it should still have the halacha of being mitzdar for tumas eichlin. Because Amr Shlakish, he says, tzir shalgabi yarek, the juice that's on top of vegetables, either it means to say the liquid that comes out of the vegetable itself, or it actually means brine that they would dip the vegetables into and they would eat it with brine. But either way, says Rish Lakish, mitzdarf likukoseves, that they combine for the shear of a dried date, b'yom kippurim, which that the halacha is that there has to be a certain amount, a minimum, that if someone eats on Yom Kippurim, that he's violating the isra of eating on Yom Kippurim, which is the shear of a kukoseves. So that says Rish Lakish, that this tzir, this juice, that it combines with the vegetable to have violated the isra of eating on Yom Kippurim. Now, even though it hasn't congealed, it's just juice, still, he says that since it's connected with the vegetables, so it's considered as a food item and it combines. So why do you have to say that this glare has to congeal, even if it doesn't, even if it's just liquid on the meat, it should combine? Says the Gemara, no, because Hasim, over there, the reason by Yom Kippurim, that's not because we consider that juice on the vegetable as a food item. No, because even if it's not a food item, the halacha Yom Kippurim that one violates is mishum yisuvi daituhu. It's because if it calms a person down. B'cholduhu miyasuv daite. Whatever it is, it combines, it calms a person down. Once a person calms down, then he's liable. Because what does it say in B'yikachav Gimel? Lo su'una. The halacha is that a person has to have that, he has to be in affliction. If a person didn't afflict himself, which if he's calmed down, that's the violation of eating Yom Kippurim. Well, that you have, even if it's just liquid. But hacha, mishum itz tirufihu. Here, the halacha that we need to have in our Mishnah is that of combination. Ikarish mitzarev, if it congeals, then it combines with the solid of the meat. Ilay karish le mitzarev, if it doesn't congeal, then it doesn't combine, because you can't combine food item and liquids together because they don't have the same shear. So if one wants to have the tumas of oichlam, which are talking about food items, it has to congeal to be considered a salad, to be considered as a food item, to combine with the meat. Now, although actually there by Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah teaches in Yom Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph Amud Beis that they're actually foods and liquids also don't combine. That's only bona fide foods and beverages. The Rabbanan understood that there are persons would not be calmed down by the combination of food and drink. But the juices on the vegetables, the Rabbanan understood that that's considered secondary for calming a person down, but it doesn't have to have the laws of tziruf. For tziruf, you have to have that it congeals, unlike that of Yom Kippur. Now the next item in our Mishnah that we said that will also combine to the food items for the laws of Tumas Eichel is Vakipa. So it's about my Kippa. So I'm a Rava. He says, Pirim, as many times in Shas, we translate kippah as this, which are the small pieces of meat that are liquidy that fall to the bottom of the pot, which we call the sediment. That's what we're saying combines for the share of Tumas Eichel. On that, Abaya says to Rava, Hu atzma yitma Tumas Eichel. What do you mean? It itself should combine for this, it should be itself royal. Why does it have to combine? It's small pieces of meat. Of course, it should have its own share of Tumas Eichel. Elam Rapapa, rather Rapapa says it's referring to tavlins, referring to the spices, where the spices themselves people don't eat. So it itself would not be rolled the kabbal tumma for the share of eichlin, but it will combine together with the food items because then people do eat the spices, and that's what we're saying it's been star for tumas eichlin. Now, related to this halacha is Tanan Hasim, it's actually a brisa we learned over there that says hikpa es hadam v'acholei. If they congealed blood, which is a liquid, but it congealed by putting the blood over fire, and then the person ate the blood. Or the opposite. If one took fats, which are solid, but then he liquefied it and then he drank it, says the Braisa Chayiv, even though blood in its natural state is a liquid, and here he made it into like jelly, into like solid, or he took a jelly-like substance out of fats and he liquefied it, and he took it in, he ate it, either way Chayiv is going to be liable. So the Gemara asked on this halacha, Bishlam hikpes adam v'achol. We understand that if one congeals blood and he eats it, that he's going to be chayiv. It's kiven to akpe, since he went and he made jelly out of it. Achshuvi achshuvi, he made it distinguished, meaning he made it something that's important to him, because he went through the process of making the jelly. So you understand why he would be liable. Elohim ches achil v'gamoy, but if someone liquefied the forbidden fats and he drank it, achilik sivbe, the pasuk regarding the forbidden fats says the terminology of eating. V'holav achilihi, that's not eating, that's drinking. So Mesh Lakish, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says over there, Nefesh. That's L'rabbis HaSashayse. That comes to include someone who's going to drink it. So the fact that the Pasuk says, Yikar Zayim B'Nichrasa HaNefesh, the one who consumes the Chalev, his soul is going to be cut off. Now, why is it talking about his Nefesh? Because Nefesh, besides the terminology of soul, also incorporates that which calms a person down. That's even if he's going to drink. Where do we find Nefesh means a person's desires? Where that when a person fulfills his desires, he's calmed down. Like you find the pasuk Bereishis Chav Gimlam, Yeshes Nafshachem, if that's what you want, which is a terminology of desire and pleasure for a person, which his soul is where he gets the pleasure. So that when it talks about nefesh, it's any type of calming down the person and pleasure, which would even be by drinking. And therefore, we see that the chaylev is included not only in eating, but also in drinking. And the Gemara says, Tanna, we find a similar concept mentioned by that of the prohibition of leavening of chametz on Pesach. The Braisa says, if someone liquefies the chametz and he drinks it, so im chametzu anish karas. If this wheat that he did this liquefied to his chametz, then his punishment is for is karas if he did this on Pesach. Im matzahi, if it's matzah, If he ate the matzah by having it liquefied, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation of having matzah on Pesach. So the Gemara says, we understand the second halacha that if it's matzah, the unleavened bread, that he's not fulfilled his obligation of Pesach, even though he took it in, but he liquefied it. It's because lechem ayni amrachman. Teres says to fulfill the mitzvah matzah has to be the poor man's bread, the bread of poverty. Now, the high level lechem ayni, this is not the bread of poverty because it's not bread. It was liquefied into a drink. But elim chametz hu anish karas. But this, the first halacha that said, but if it is leaven, then he gets a punishment of karas. But why? The prohibition of eating chametz on Pesach says that regarding eating, and this is not eating, this is drinking. So Mesh Lakish, he says, but amakra nefesh, the pasuk says the terminology where they have nefesh, which again, like we said, L'Ravis HaShayse talks about fulfilling any desire of pleasure for the person, which includes drinking too, to have the liability of karas of chametz on Pesach. Says the Gemara, "Tanina megabe nevelas oif tarkai gabnu." Find a similar concept brought down regarding the dead carcass of a kosher bird. The Braisa says, "Himcho, if someone went and liquefied a kosher bird, b'or, and they did this in the fire, so tame. So then, if someone's going to consume this, it's going to transmit tame to his garments when it's in his throat, which is the unique halacha by the nevela of a kosher bird. Now, b'chama, but if let's say they liquefied it in the sun and then he went and he drank it." So then tar, actually then it's not going to transmit tumah to him and his garments, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. Now, but the Havinah, but we had asked regarding this brisa, achilik sebei, it says eating regarding this tumah of the nevela of the non-kosher bird, so why is it going to transmit tumah even when he drinks it? Amar shlokesh, amar krabah nefesh, the pasuk says, l'chol nefesh ashatechol nevela, which that pasuk in B'yukid Zayin is talking about the nevela of a kosher bird, which is l'rabah, says ashayis, includes even if one drinks it. Now, but then the question is, Yehachi Bechamanami, so then even if it was liquefied in the sun, one should have the same tumah then too. It says, Gemara, no, Bechame Isruchi Misruch. When it's in the sun, it gets spoiled. Then it's not included in something of being consumed, it's not considered something that's edible, and therefore there someone's not going to be liable. Now, says the Gemara, Tzrichim, we have to say this halacha of liquefying it, that it's included in the liability, as we see from the word nefesh, by all these three categories of chametz, chelev, and the vela of a kosher bird. Why? Because of Rechman HaChelev, had we only said this inclusion by the halachas of forbidden fats, so then, first of all, chametz la'asamaneh, we would not have included chametz from there. Shekein lohayis l'shasakeisha, because chelev is most stringent, and therefore maybe has the stringency of even when it was liquefied, because forbidden fats never had a permitted time, whereas chametz is permitted every day besides the 7-8 days of Pesach. Nevela lost there. We would not have learned out the nevela of a kosher bird from there. Shekein anish karas, because chelev is more stringent than nevela, where if one eats the forbidden fats, he gets a punishment of karas, which is not the case by nevela. So therefore, you wouldn't have known it from this law of chelev. Now, because Rachman chametz had the Torah written it by chametz. So chelev la'asmanei, we would not have known chelev from chametz. Shekein lohut mechlali, because chametz is more stringent than chelev, because when chametz is forbidden, there is no permissible way of consuming that chametz, in contrast to chelev, has permissibility, as we're going to shortly explain, where the classic situation is by a chaya, a wild animal, those chelev, those fats are actually permitted. And v'nevela asmanei, we would not have learned out nevela from chametz, shekein anish karas, because chametz is more severe than nevela, where it has a punishment of karas, in contrast to nevela. And finally, because Rachman ben Nevela had the Torah written this inclusion of nefesh for liquefied, that there's a liability by Nevela, Hanach la'asimene, we would not have learned out the other two of chametz and chelev, shekein metama, because by Nevela it transmits tama to the person, whereas not the case by chametz and chelev, and therefore we would not have known it from there. So says the Gemara, fine, chadim chadil asi, right, we would not have been able to learn out one from any one of the other ones. But tesi chadim mitarti, but write it only by two places, not all three, and have the third one learn out from those two. Says Gemara, "Hai taisi, which one should be learned out from any other two? Loi licht Rechman ben Nevela b'teis manach." If you're going to say, "Okay, don't write it by Nevela and learn it from the other two of Chelev and Chametz," you can't. Mal hanach sheken anish karis. Those two have a stringency over Nevela, where if one violates over there, there's a punishment of karis in contrast to Nevela. And loi licht Rechman ben Chametz b'teis manach. If you say, "Okay, don't write it by Chametz and learn it from the other two," no. Mal hanach sheken lohasl and shasa kasher. In contrast to Nevela and Chelev, the Nevela itself and Chelev itself never had a permissible time. In contrast to Chametz, has permissible times any other day besides Pesach. And finally, l'licht rechman b'chelev b'teis manach. If you're going to say, okay, don't write the inclusion by chelev and learn it from those other two, you can't. Malahanach shekein lohut mechlalin. In contrast to chametz and nevela, there's never permissible area in the consumption of those two things. Time and b'chelev shut mechlalin. In contrast by chelev, where there is a permissibility in that prohibition, therefore it's malinian, and therefore maybe there wouldn't apply this inclusion of nefesh of mecho of liquefied, and therefore you have to say it by all three. But on this last point, the Gemara says, what is this that we're saying, that chelev is hutta mechlalai, that it's totally permissible, there is an element that's totally permissible in this prohibition of chelev. If it's referring to it because the fats of a kosher domesticated animal, there is permissibility for it when, for Hashem, because actually those chelevs are actually what's sacrificed in the Mizbeach, well then nevela nami, so then that's not a stringency it has, that's not something that it has different over nevela, because nevela too, ishtaroi malikas ev ligavaya. The carbon is actually not slaughtered either. It's also nevela, which is what malika is, and yet that's also sacrificed to Hashem. So that's not a stringency of chelev, and therefore actually chelev could be learned out then from nevela. So Vela, what are you going to say? Chelev chay lehedi? No. What are we saying that there's no hetemach, that there is a hetemach lale by by chalev, which means it's less severe than that of nevela and chametz, because something of it is totally permissible. That of those chalevs, those fats, which are by behema forbidden, are actually permitted by a wild animal, even for a regular person. Well, then nevela namen. But then you have the same question too regarding a nevela of a kosher bird. Ishtaroi malika the chatz ha'ayv l'kahanim. When malik is done for the chatz ha'ayv, that bird is actually eaten by the kahanim, who are regular people, not just what's burnt on the mizbeach for Hashem. So you see that that's also permitted. So then what's this leniency you're saying you have of chaylev in contrast to nevela and chametz? What do you mean? Nevela is the same thing. Nevela also has a leniency that it can be eaten by a commoner. Says Gemara, no, lo'ilam chaylev chayel ahedi. What we said is a leniency that of chaylev in contrast to the other two is referring because those fats by a wild animal are permitted for a regular person. And this that you ask, well, kahanim also, regarding the vela, also has that permissibility for a commoner. No, kahanim mishulchan gevayi kazachu. Kahanim, when they eat this quote nevela, which had maliga done to it, didn't have slaughtering. It was just done with the thumb of the kohen that he's permitted to eat this nevela. His permissibility is because of this halacha of gevaya of what's done for Hashem. Because when the kohen gets it, he gets it as a gift from Hashem, who then gives it to his kahanim. But regarding a straight up halacha of commoners, that we don't find the heter of nevela, and therefore it's a unique leniency regarding chaylev, and therefore since it's hutim achlal, we would not have known it from nevela and chametz, and therefore we have to say all those three areas of the halachas that they're included in this halacha of liquefying. But the Gemara asks, but vadatanya. But we actually have another context that says this halacha. We learn the Brayis, the pasuk says v'yikra, that it says these are hatameim, these are the things that are tamei for you in every type of sheretz, these are the vermin that whoever touches them when they're dead, there's different types, they're going to be tamei until the evening. Now, what the Brayis is expounding is the extra hay, hatameim, the ones that are tamei. What's the hay coming to include? Lesset, tziron, v'reitvan, v'kibishlan, this comes to include not only the vermin themselves, the bugs, but also their gravy, their juices, and the spices that are on them. Lovely, why do I need a special reber to include it? Ligma mahani, let it be learned from these three that we just mentioned, of chaylev, chametz, and nevela, where we say when you liquefy, it's just like it. So here also, the shrotzim, we should know from there, that it's when the liquefied parts are the same thing as the thing itself. Why do you need a special reber of hatameim to include the juices of the that's from the sheretz? So the Gemara Tzrich, you know, is necessary. Why? Dila Kaz Rachman had the Torah now written it specifically in the fourth category of here by Sheretz. Havimina, I would have said, okay, Daya Lovim and Adin Liz Kanidin. It's enough to learn out from what you're learning out from to be like the thing you're learning from. So if you can learn Shratzim from those three areas, Mahasim Adeka Gezais, those three halachas, Nevelo, Chametz, Chelev, their minimum measurement of liability is if it has the size of an olive. Then that would say also over here by Shratzim that the minimum would be until it's the size of an olive. Now the thing is, however, is that really Shratzim, the prohibition of eating them, is the size of a lentil, which is smaller than that, and that's the same share of their tumah. As Rabbi Yisrael Chanina teaches in the Braisa that it says in the Pasuk, V'evdaltim ben mahemet tahayru l'tumeh, you should separate between the kosher and the non-kosher. Now the Pasuk opens up with eating, and it ends with tumah, to tell you that just like the tumah of the Shratzim is the size of a lentil, so too their isser of eating is also the size of a lentil, as the Gemara says in Me'ila Mdaf Tezayin Mabeis. Therefore, had we not written the law of liquefying the Shratzim by the context of Shratzim itself, and we would have learned it from those other three, I would have said that the liability of the liquefying is not going to be less than an olive size, and therefore you have to say it by Shratzim. To say that no, it's even like the sheretz itself, which is even the size less than that, the size of a lentil. But now, as we continue to medbay, so the Gemara asks, okay, but licht rechman de b'shratzim. So now let the Torah have said it by shratzim, and there you even see it even less than that. And let the other ones, chaylev, chametz, and nevela, let them learn out from shratzim to see that the liquefying is like the thing itself. Says the Gemara, no. Because then you could say and refute and say, no, mala shratzim, it makes sense that the liquefying of the shratzim should be like the sheretz itself, shekain tumasin, because their tumah and their iser is bemashu, is even a small amount, that of a lentil, so it's more stringent. Therefore, it has the stringencies of the liquefying. But those other three that's only the shevek izayis maybe won't have that stringency. Therefore, we have to say it by those three categories too. Now the Gemara continues, there's an other context to this same halacha. But the Tanya, this is within the Braisa that says, Hatevel, regarding untithed produce. These are all things that are forbidden to be eaten. Fachadosh, or the new grain before the Karban Eim was brought, where the grain they would go ahead and make beer from barley. So we're talking about the liquefying of these forbidden elements themselves. Or Vahektish, something of Hektish, or Vashvius, produce from the Shemitah year, which the liquid that comes out from the produce has the same halacha as the Shemitah produce itself, which has the responsibility of beer, of getting it rid of someone's house, and when the time comes that it's not available in the fields anymore, and and after that point it's forbidden for someone to have that produce, and we're saying that this will include the liquids too, or vaklayim, or from forbidden mixtures of mixed breeds, kulon mashkna yitzmen kemaisen. All these halachas that we said, not only they prohibited themselves, but the liquids that come out of them also have the same stringencies in halacha. Says the Gemara Manolam, what do we know in these contexts too that has the same halacha of liquefying like the thing itself? Now, and if you're going to say, okay, let's learn that from these three we had mentioned before of chaylev, chametz, and nevelo, but you can't. Because ma'alahanach shekin isa abo me'elev haba. Those three are all things that are automatic prohibitions. Chaylev is automatically from the animal, nevelo is automatic when it dies, chametz is automatically on Pesach. So, teinach heich de isa abo me'elev. See, right, so what we'd be able to learn from those three are prohibitions that come by themselves. Tevel, which is automatically produced once it's finished. The new grain is automatic. Shvius every seventh year. Klai Kerem is automatic once you plant it. But regarding Hekdesh, Hechad de la Vesaba Me'ilim Anolim, when the Isser doesn't come by itself, but rather when the person says it makes this thing into Hekdesh, how do you know that the liquefied part will have the halacha like the thing itself? Says the Gemara Gaminim Bibikurim. We learn now from the halachas of the first fruits, which are from the seven types that Israel is praised with, that that's brought up to the Beis HaMikdash. That prohibition on those fruits, which has certain limitations, one has to bring it up and cannot eat it, it has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, that's not an automatic prohibition, because only by someone designating those fruits as Bikurim, that's how they become sanctified. That's where we learn out the laws of Hekdash. Says Gemara Bikurim Gufayim Enolim. Where do you know that the Lacha is that the liquefied element is like the Bikurim themselves? Says the Gemara Dutan Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi taught in the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk regarding Bikurim, Mereishis call from all the beginning of pre of the fruits that you have, that's what you should bring up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when it says pre-ata maybe, that says, okay, you have to bring up the fruits, the produce. Be'ata maybe mashka, but you don't bring up the liquids from them. Now, says the Braisa, Hevi anav medarka minayim, but how do you know, like, if you brought grapes and then you press them, that the pressed grapes, the grape juice, will also have the same halacha of Bikurim as the grapes? That's what it says, the extra terminology, that which you'll bring from your land, where it could have just said, which is from your land, the extra word tavi comes to include, even the juices that come out of it, has the same halacha as the Bikurim themselves. And we learn that Hekdesh from Bikurim, which have the same halacha of that it's not a Issa B'me'ela, but rather one that the person made himself. But says the Gemara, Ikle Mefech, you could refute that limud, that Yalfusa. Because Mali Bikurim Shekein Tun in Korea. No, we'll say that Bikurim is more stringent because A, it requires recital of a parasha of a Rami Ebed Avi. Vahanacha, it also requires the placement on the ground, like it says in the Pasuk, Benachlef Ne Hashem. In contrast to Hekdesh that doesn't have that, how do you know it has the stringency of the liquefied element like the salad itself? Eller rather says, Gemara, you're right, Gama Mitruma. We learn that Hekdesh from Truma, that the liquefied is like the thing itself. Says Gemara Bitruma Gufamil. How do you know by Truma that the juices that come out of it is like the thing itself? Says Gemara, because the iskish le Bikurim. Because Truma is compared to Bikurim in the Torah. Because the Amar Malik, the Master said, the Pasuk says, Nevarim u'trumas yadecha, and the Truma of your hand. What does this refer to? Ela Bikurim. And you see that Bikurim is referred to as Trumas yadecha. So you see Truma is compared to Bikurim. And just like Bikurim, the halacha is that the liquid is like the salt, like we brought before, from the word from Tavi, so too that includes Truma. And we'll learn that Hekdesh from Truma. Now, not the Gemara asked, but Mala Truma, how could you know Hekdesh from Truma? We find the stringency by Truma, Shekin Chayov Nala Misa, if someone that's not allowed to eat the Truma, and it's a forbidden state, if someone eats it deliberately, he gets death. The Chaimish, if he does it by mistake, he's liable for an extra fifth penalty, which is not the case by Hekdesh. So, Elagama Mitavayu, Mitruma Bikurim, says the Gemara, okay, right, we'll learn that from both, common denominator of Truma and Bikurim, that's how we know Hekdesh. Says Gemara, but Mala Truma Bikurim, but you still can't learn from Truma and Bikurim, Shekin Chayav Nalei Misa V'Chaimish, where there you're liable for both death and a fifth. When you're going to ask that, well, how can you learn from Truma, which has a liability of death and a fifth, you can't say Bikurim Yechichu, because actually Bikurim has the same liability. So Ella rather says the Gemara asks me Truma v'chad mehanach. No, we'll learn out from Truma and one of those other ones of Chametz or Nevela. Because when you're going to ask, well, how can you learn Hekdesh from Truma where there is death? Well, Nevela will disprove that which doesn't have a liability of death. And if you're going to say, well, how can you learn Hekdesh from Nevela? Nevela is a Isra b'me'elav in contrast to Hekdesh. Well, then you say Truma techiach, which that's also not coming by itself. It's the person himself who designates which should be Truma. And therefore, it goes back and forth, and you say that cannot be the main thing because the other one doesn't have that. And the common denominator is that they themselves are forbidden, and the liquid that come out of them are like the thing itself. So to include those things, like Hekdesh, or from Bikurma, one of those other ones, but you could learn it out from a common denominator of those. Now, the Gemara continues, based on our previous discussion, V'haditzna, this that we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Trumas that says, Divash Tamar, the honey that comes out of dates, or V'yayin Tepuchim, or the wine that comes out of apples, some type of like cider apple. V'chemetz Zvanias, or there are these grapes that are found on the vine in the winter months, which they never fully matured, and they make this type of this cider, this vinegar from. Or v'shar negirsas, shar may peiris, or other fruit juices, except for olives and grapes, which that's the norm to make the juice out of it, olive oil and wine. But all other types of fruit juices, shal truma, that are from truma, he says that if someone eats it by mistake, he's liable for the principal and an added fifth, which is like the truma itself. Rabbi Shua says, no, this that the person is drinking the liquid that came out of the truma itself, then he'll be exempt from the liability that usually pertains to truma. Says the Gemara, but my pligi, regarding what principle do they disagree? Because we just mentioned before that we learned that truma from Bikurim, which says that the liquids that come out of them are like the thing itself. So then why does Rabbi Shua say that you're exempt? If it's like the thing itself, so then it should have the laws like truma, and therefore it should have the same penalty of karen l'chaimish. Says the Gemara, bedun mina umina. Their machlekes is regarding learning something out from something else and learning it out from there. Meaning, whenever you have a gezeres shavo or a biblical binyan av, which you learn out one thing from another thing, do we go ahead and learn out everything and every element from what you're learning out from that other context? Or ubidun mina, or no, do you learn out what you need to learn out from that other context? But then va'uki ba'asra, then for every other halacha related to that element that you learn from the other area, you apply it to what is from to what the category that it's going to. That's kamifugi. That's what the disagreement is, as the Gemara explains. The Rabbi Eliezer, who said that it will have the halacha like the trum itself, he understands dun mina umina. You learn out from that thing, and you learn out everything from that thing. So you learn it as follows. We said before, you learn a truma from bikurim. Now, ma bikurim, just like by the first fruits, mashkin, ayitzim, and kemaisin, like we brought from the word tavi, the liquids that come out of them is like the bikurim themselves. So av truma nami, mashkin, ayitzim, and kemaisin, like we said, that's everyone agrees to this part. So too, the liquid that come out of the truma is like the truma itself. But rumina, he says, but you learn everything regarding these liquids that you're learning from bikurim. And therefore, ma bikurim afilashar minim. So just like bikurim, it's not just for grapes and for olives. It's all types of species. Meaning, we find by bikurim that you bring it from seven types of species. Saf trumanam. So therefore, for truma too, which when you designate truma from produce, afilashar minim. Even for all the other types of species that you bring truma from, which is dates and apples, that since truma applies by all types of these fruits, so even though initially it doesn't apply by their liquids, because only in the Torah does it talk about tirish and yitzer, which is a grape juice and for olive oil. However, these liquids, since they're coming from produce of truma, so we learn out, like just like bikurim, whatever produce it applies, those juices are the same. Oh, so to over here, whatever produce applies, their juices will be the same. Now Rashi explains that although we're using this wording of dun mina mina, it's not really precisely this idea, because we're talking about over here dates and apples, and they themselves don't even have the law of the fruits themselves don't biblically have a halacha of truma. It's only rabbinically. But what the Gemara is explaining for this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer means to say that since regarding biblical law he holds dun mina mina, and had these dates been biblically obligated in truma, we would have learned out from bikurim that the liquids that come out of them are like the thing itself. Seir also, we know the halacha is that rabbinics are kein d'oraisa talking, that they go ahead and they institute it in the same format as it is in biblical law. So therefore, we're saying that also the other species will also, like, even if it's the apple cider vinegar, it's going to have the same halacha of the apple themselves, and will have the laws of truma on the liquids too. And therefore, if one eats it by mistake, Rabbi Leah says he'll be chayv karim b'chemesh. Whereas Rabbi Shua Saver, he holds that no, even if had these produce, these other fruits, been biblical, the liquids that would have come out of them, which are coming out of them, do not have the halacha like the thing itself. Because he holds, dun mina. Yeah, you learn that from something else, for whatever it is that you need to learn out from there. Which, like in our context, is ma bikurim, mashkin, ayitzim, and kemaisin. Just like the first fruits that a person brings to the Beis Hamikdash, the liquids that come out of them are like the thing itself. So yeah, af truma, mashkin, ayitzim, and kemaisin, so too, by truma, the liquids that come out of them are like the thing itself. But that's it that you learn out from there. Everything else, you're going to learn that in the context of Ukei Ba'asra, apply it to the context of Truma. And therefore we'll say, Ma Mashkin, the Girsa takes out the end of him. Ma Mashkin de Kaichi B'Truma, just like liquids. What are the liquids that initially one sanctifies as Truma? That's Tirish V'Yitzer in. Only that refers to grape juice and to olive oil, where that's what the Torah writes those terminologies. But other things not. So af mashkin ayitzim and kemais, and so too when we're going to include this halacha of what's going to we going to consider as the liquids that come out of them, like the thing itself, which is after it's coming out of the solid, as tirush v'yitzer in, is only by grape juice and by olive oil. Yes, midachri nilai, but other things not. We will not include the halacha for other liquids. Meaning, this that we're saying that the liquids will have the halacha of truma, which is what we're learning out from Bikurim, that's talking about that if one had designated the shame of Truma on that produce before the juice was squeezed out. So then we say that if liquid gets squeezed out afterwards, we're saying we'll have the halacha like the solid itself. That's only for Tirush V'Yitzer. But other liquids where it doesn't have the halacha of Truma, so that's what Rabbi Shu is saying. Even had those fruits been written in the Torah, the liquids would not have had the same halacha, just like the initial sanctification of Truma, it's only Tirush V'Yitzer, so the liquids that come out also only apply by Tirush V'Yitzer, and therefore he says that regarding all those other fruit juices, the halacha is going to be, besides Tirush V'Yitzer, besides olives and grapes, that it's actually not going to be like the Truma itself, and one's not going to be Chayav Karim B'Chemesh. But the Gemara continues and says, V'haditnan, this that we learned in the Mishnah of Masechtas Trumas that says, Eim avin bikur mashke, you can't bring the first fruits as a liquid, El hayitzim nazeisim nanavim, only from olives and from grapes. Now, this sounds like totally, meaning even if a person brought the fruits and then it got squeezed out, that no matter what the fruit is besides grapes and olives, you can't go ahead and have those juices be considered as bikurim, because if one would think it's told that it was already squeezed beforehand, then even grapes also are not included in bikurim, because we had said previously that only pre you could bring, but you can't bring a liquid, even grapes themselves. We only included after the fact that tavi, that if it got squeezed out afterwards. So Mani, so who's the Tana of this Mishnah? Says Gemara Bishua, he must be going like a Bishua, because the Amar that he said regarding Truma, he says that those other juices are not sanctified like Truma, because he holds Duminov Uki Ba'asra, although we learned that from Bikurma, we only applied to the context of Truma, which we said only applies to Tirsh V'Yitzer, which are Zesim and Anavim. Now, but there's an added step over here. V'gamalahu l'bikurum mitruma. And he subsequently, Rabbi Shua, as we're seeing in this Mishnah, then learns out bikurum from Truma. Meaning, since by Truma we're saying that all other fruit juices are not going to be prohibited, so then he learns out bikurum, I mean, we learned out Truma from bikurum, but now that same hekesh, because it says the terminology Truma Sidech, which refers to bikurum, we learn the bikurum from Truma. Because the Torah said that you know from Tavi, that's where you're saying that the juices are applied to Bikurim the same. But what are we including? Well, we compare it to Truma. Just like Bikurim, it only includes olives and grapes. So too, regarding Bikurim, it's also only going to be olives and grapes. Continues the Gemara. This is within the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says, "In seifkin es arba'im mishum," that one's not going to get 40 lashes for having consumed the liquid that comes from produce that's arlo, which is the first 3 years of a tree, which is forbidden to be eaten. One's not going to be chayif for lashes in the liquid state. El ala yitzim and azisim and anavim, only what comes out of grapes and olives. Says the Gemara, "Mani, who's this?" Says the Gemara, "Here's also Rabbi Yeshuahi, because the Amar he had said by Truma that other fruits are not going to be forbidden; they're juices." And we said, moreover, in the previous Mishnah, we said, oh, and he learns that Bikurim from Truma through that Hekesh, which is called Truma. So that's what the Gemara is adding on, that Arla goes and is learned out from Bikurim from Gzeres Shava. So you have Truma learned out from Bikurim, then Bikurim gets learned out from Truma. And our Gemara is explained now that then Arla is learned out from Bikurim. Because he says, Duminav Oki Be'asra. Okay, we learn out Truma from Bikurim, but you apply it to the context of Truma. Like we said that in Truma, all you find in its context is applies to Tirsh V'Yitzer. So to even when we're including the liquids that come out of it, will also only apply to Tirsh V'Yitzer, but not other fruit juices. Then we said, V'gamalahu l'bikurim mitruma. Then we learn out Bikurim from Truma, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that also Bikurim also is only going to apply after the fact that the juice is like the thing itself, only for wine and for olive oil. Then the Gemara continues to have a aleph and aleph, v'hod demaisi lala arlo pre mi bikurim. And then we learn out the prohibition of the fruits of the 3 years, which also says the terminology of pre, and it says by bikurim pre, just like by bikurim, which we learned from Truma, which is learned from bikurim, only applies to Tirsh V'Yitzer, but all other fruit juices are not the same as the solid itself, so to the yis of arla, to get the 40 lashes, 39 lashes, will also only apply to grapes and to olives, but all other fruit juices will not have the liability of arla.